Now, I don't need to tell you, Johannesburg is in the grip of a full-blown water crisis, weeks without supply in some areas, infrastructure crumbling, and public anger now spilling into the streets. Officials blame technical glitches, but experts say years of neglect and political inertia are to blame. I want to talk about this with Dr. Ferial Adam from the civil society organization Water Can. Dr. Adam, a very warm welcome. You've pointed to missing political will. In your view, who is specifically ducking accountability here? Is it the mayor? Is it Johannesburg Water or national government?
Good morning, Jeremy, and thank you for having me on your show. I think that we can, if we look at the historical kind of context, because that's where we are right now, the neglect can be attributed to all levels of government. I do think that in the recent past, national government has been pushing and changing and being better. So I think at the end of the day, when it comes to the municipalities, then the mayors and the mayoral committees must actually start, facing the music on this one.
The city, Dr. Adams says, demand is too high, and that's a direct quote. Is that, in your opinion, a credible excuse or simply a way to mask years of underinvestment?
So I think it is one of the reasons, right? Because let me explain this, is that we have in city of Johannesburg, half of our reservoirs are leaking. So they cannot be filled to maximum. So there's no storage. But at the same time, it is known that as we go into summer months, we use more water. But also when they talk about the high demand, they must also understand that we are losing at least 27% of our water to leaks in the city of Joburg. So that's also part of that high demand, right? And that's the challenge. But it's a combination of that. They can't only say it's high demand. They've got to say that the demand is high given the poor state of our infrastructure and the fact that we've ignored it for 10 years.
What I'm also hearing you say is that it's probably going to get worse as we approach the hot summer months in Gauteng.
We probably will see some restrictions. I think it's not about having the Vaal River system at 100% or anything, but I do think that there may be some restrictions in the pipeline.
And Dr. Adam, we've got this thing called short st or stop start supply and throttling. And you'll correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems to me to be the new routine. From an engineering perspective, are these emergency measures creating bigger long-term failures, do you think?
So, yes, I mean, I'm not an engineer, but that is what our engineers have told us, is that the throttling is actually going to make the system more vulnerable to leaks and burst pipes. So we would see, so what we have now, Jeremy, is no flow. But when we start seeing flow normalizing, and they'll throttle at night and open in the morning, as more of these areas start getting water, you're going to get a lot more leaks and a lot more burst pipes around the city.
But if we don't throttle, surely the situation will get worse a whole lot quicker.
No, I mean, I think what engineers are saying is that it's better to have some level of water in the pipes rather than leaving them empty. Because when you think about the pipes being empty and they're fragile, they're actually breaking where they are. So you've got to keep some level of water in them. So you could reduce supply, but there are other sustainable ways that they can do it. The engineers would be the ones to actually answer that better. But I think having a certain amount of water within the pipes is better than having nothing and dry pipes.
Dr. Adam, there's been a huge amount of anger and rage over Brixton and Hurst Hill, particularly in Johannesburg, projects there being repeatedly delayed. Do you have a view on that? Is it incompetence? Is it corruption? Is it a lack of will? What is it, do you think?
I think that it's combination of lack of will, it's a combination of poor planning. And I think it's this arrangement that the city of Joburg has that, and the city of Joburg as it stands is a leaking bucket of money. So they allocate money to the entities, but they then would take from Joburg Water and then use it to pay other things, which historically was the decision that the money-making parts or arms of the city would be your water, your rates, your electricity and waste. So you'll pay those and that will be able to fund other parts of the city, like parks or whatever comes with it, right? What we see now is that the city keeps saying that they don't have money. So it's worrying. They allocate a budget to Joburg Water, which was a very measly increase for capital expenditure, but they have the ability to take that money back into their account, which then leaves Joburg Water strapped because they can't pay contractors and then contractors down tools. The Brixton Reservoir, the new one, was supposed to be online April, May this year. It has been delayed because contractors down tools. And I believe that there may be a problem right now as we speak, but it just extends these issues, which then extends our challenges on the ground.
And the consequence, Dr. Adam, of this budgeting hopscotch that you're describing to me is a loss of trust as far as communities are concerned. And if there is a breakdown in social contract, it will have a huge impact on future cooperation when it comes to water saving or, for that matter, tariff increases.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that is exactly the challenge we're having right now because we're trying to say, look, even when you're getting water, we need to use it sparingly so that the water can go longer, so that everybody can have a little bit. But people are like, well, then I'm not going to save water if Joburg Water's not fixing their leaks. So it's, you know, people are so angry that they don't want to even hear saving. They were like, what must I save? I haven't had water for 10 days. So it becomes very difficult. And the trust, you're right, there's a complete trust deficit with city officials and Joburg Water. And building that is going to take a lot of honesty and transparency from the officials, but also an understanding and empathy, which I don't see from any of the mayor's inputs or any of his engagements, that there's an understanding of what people are going through on the ground.
Now, if I understand this correctly, legally, residents shouldn't have to endure more than a week without water a year. Have you applied your mind at all to the chances of a successful constitutional or class action challenge?
Yes, and by the way, it's not even 7 days. It doesn't even say 7 consecutive days, right? So it could be 7 days across a year. We have been chatting to a number of legal minds. I think we've been so busy at the moment just trying to make sure that people get water on the ground in this period because it's been so long. And because a legal case is a long-term kind of approach. What we did think about is having an interdict, and we will be talking to people to say, how do we ensure that the money is ring-fenced for the water and sanitation? We're not saying all of the budget, but at least for the projects that they have identified in the short term that they've submitted to the presidential working group, at least those projects can happen without any hindrance. That would be a good thing. But we know that court cases take time, so we are having discussions around that. And what is our avenue? What is the best avenue at the moment?
And just a quick one in conclusion. Obviously, we're focusing on Johannesburg, but how does it compare with other metros at the moment? Is this a unique collapse that we're witnessing in real time, or a broader national failure when it comes to water governance?
It's a snapshot of a very, very big, broad national failure. If I tell you that, you know, there are areas like for years, Balfour, that in Mpumalanga, that have not been able to drink the water from their tap because it's polluted. There are areas in Makanda, the Free State, I can give you every province where and municipalities where there are challenges with water. And when communities are trying to engage with municipalities there, it's even worse. They just get silent treatment. They don't get acknowledged. And it's, you know, from KZN to the Western Cape, there are issues. If you look at the Western Cape with sewage flowing into the rivers, into the beaches. So really, it is a national crisis, water and sanitation across the board. The fact that 25% of our schools don't have proper running water and 45% of our clinics don't have running water is a crisis.
Thank you very much indeed. I've been in conversation with Dr. Ferial Adam from the civil society organization, Water Can.